Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Well, let's get some noise in the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 I was praying and searching the scriptures and asking the Lord what I should talk about today. So I explored a number of themes and topics, and I kept writing them down and believing, yeah, now I have the message, now I have the word. And I dug into the scriptures, and at the end of it, I said, no, my heart doesn't feel like this is the message I want to carry. And I did that over and over. And my mind settled for a very obvious subject, a very common subject, a very simple subject. And when I read that, my heart was at peace, and my mind was at peace, and I said, yes, this is the message. And so this afternoon, I'm tempted to say this morning, because all my life, church has always been in the morning, right? So when I say this morning, please understand me. But this afternoon, I want to speak with us or share with us about the subject of rejoicing in the Lord always. And I have a subtitle, and the subtitle I have for this message is Bearing the Fruit of Joy. The Bible references joy as a fruit. And so I went into I went on the internet to try and do some research. And the question I typed in was, what is the difference between the word joy and happiness? Because the more I thought about joy, the more I wondered whether I was talking about happiness. And again and again, I realized that actually joy and happiness sometimes are used interchangeably. And it's very easy to confuse them. It's very easy to mix them. But there is a whole litany of literature out there that distinguishes joy from happiness. And let me read to you a few of the things that I came across. Is there a difference between joy and happiness? And this particular respondent says, a dictionary definition of happiness is a state of well-being, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. The definition of the word rejoice, from which our word joy comes, is to fit together. To fit together. And he goes on to say, to welcome or to be glad. Depending on the translation, the Bible uses the words happy and happiness about 30 times, while joy and rejoice appear in the Bible over 300 times. If we look at some verses, and he goes on to give some examples of verses and where the words joy and happiness come from in the Bible. But the fact that the Bible uses the word rejoice or joy or references joy and rejoicing 300 times and uses the word happiness 30 times has some significance. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, I think he used the word happiness probably once. But he used it in a context. When you think of the Beatitudes, as the Lord said, blessed are they. Many Bibles or translations use the word happy are they to equate that happiness to blessedness. That is a subject of discussion for another day. one more person giving us the difference between joy and happiness says the following. Happiness is an emotion in which one experiences feelings ranging from contentment and satisfaction to bliss and intense pleasure. That's happiness. While joy, on the other side, is a state of being, it could be connected to great or calm delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure, elation, it's more permanent than happiness. When you look at the causes of joy and happiness, happiness, according to this particular person, is externally driven. The causes of happiness are mainly external events connected to feelings. While joy is inward and many times has connections to the spiritual state of being. From these definitions and many more, it becomes very clear that happiness is not what I intend to talk about today. I intend to talk about something deeper than happiness. And I go to the book of Philippians, which many scholars call the book of joy. The book of Philippians is the book of joy. Why? Because Paul writes to the Philippian church and speaks a lot about joy. He uses the word joy, rejoice, rejoicing 16 times in those four chapters of the book of Philippians. The key verse for our sharing today is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, which all of us can say together very easily. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. And we are going to do this the way we used to do it when we were young, right? Okay, so this side will start. Then this side will follow. And that side will be the third, okay? So we are going to... and you continue, right? Two. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Hallelujah, that was very well done. Thank you. Now I know I can also be a music conductor, right? In the letter to the Philippians, Paul emphasizes rejoicing in the Lord always. Why is it important to rejoice? Why? Why is it so important that we should rejoice in the Lord? Why would it have taken Paul so much time to write about rejoicing? The interesting thing is that while Paul was writing this letter, he was actually in prison. He had been in a Roman prison for 2 years. And he's writing about joy, about rejoicing. from a prison cell? That's very interesting. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, a verse we all know very well, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then continues to list the various aspects of that love. Number one, joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you have the Spirit of God in you, you are supposed to bear the fruit of joy. Now, joy is the very essence of the kingdom of God. Let us look at Romans 14, verse 17. Another verse that we all know very well, right? In the book of Romans 14, verse 17, Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom, the very essence, the very nature of the kingdom of God is a place of joy. It's defined by joy. It's a characteristic of the kingdom. It's a characteristic of the people of the kingdom. So you can tell if somebody is a person of the kingdom by how much joy they carry themselves with. Okay, Brother Moses, yes, we hear you and we want you to write. What does it mean to carry yourself with joy? Nehemiah, writing to the church of the time, said to them in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." If you are a believer, walking with the Lord, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, that fruit which you are bearing, which is the joy that doesn't come from the circumstances you're experiencing, it doesn't come from how you feel that particular day, it doesn't come from what was said to you by your boss, it doesn't come by what your wife told you or your husband told you, it doesn't come by what your neighbors think of you, it comes because you have the Spirit of God in you, it becomes your strength. It becomes your encouragement to go on. There are times when it gets so difficult. There are times when it gets so tough. There are times when even the very Christian walk becomes very complex. There are times when down in your soul, down in your spirit, you're almost saying, "What is happening to me?" There are moments when you may feel like giving up. There are moments when hope seems to be lost. That time, the strength that will come into your life is the joy that the Lord has written in your heart by giving you the Holy Spirit. And that joy becomes your strength. It's so important that we live a life full of joy. Because what happens on the outside is so interdependent with what happens on the inside. When the inside is not at peace, it is very difficult for the outside to be at peace. But similarly, when the outside is not at peace, it's very difficult for the inside not to be at peace. But sometimes the inside may be at peace. In other words, you have joy inside. But outside, the happiness is not there. And Paul writes to the church in the Corinthian church, and he says, even though our outward man is perishing, even though our outward man is wasting away, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Because on the outside, I may be sick on the outside. I may be struggling on the outside. I may be suffering on the outside. Things may not be falling in place. But on the inside, the Lord continues to write joy. The joy of the Lord continues to be my strength and my hope because of that. As a fruit, it must be nurtured. Joy must be nurtured. What should we rejoice about as believers? When should we rejoice? In what circumstances should we rejoice? What should determine our level of rejoicing? And I have a few answers to the very questions I have asked myself. Number one, when we go into the house of the Lord. In the book of Psalms, chapter 21, from verse 1 to 6, and I'll only read verse 6. Psalms 21, 1 to 6, King David talks about the joy that the Lord had given him as a king, especially when he overcame his battles. But let me just read verse 6. He says, when I think about what I'm saying, I shudder. My body, oh no, that's Job. I'm reading Job. I was wondering, that's not joy. Why am I shuddering when there is joy in the law? Well, I'll soon read Job as well, so maybe that's why I went to Job. He says, you have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. The very presence of the Lord is supposed to give us joy. One of the signs that you're in the presence of the Lord is that joy that you feel. Things around you may be falling apart. Things around you may not be working out. Things around you may not be adding up. Things around you may not be going the way you want. But when you're in the presence of the Lord, there is joy. There is joy about it. There's joy about what you're doing. There's joy about what you're experiencing. There's joy about what you're going through. There's joy about what people are saying. That tells you the presence of the Lord is with you. And the presence of the Lord is supposed to bring us joy. And guess how many times you may walk into the church and you're walking into the presence of the Lord and you're literally just dragging yourself there. And the worship team stands here and tries to sing, and you're trying to find why they're even rejoicing, and you don't know why they're rejoicing, right? Sometimes, I don't know whether, you know, there are people who experience that kind of thing. Sometimes I do, and you're like, Lord, give me joy. There's something I need to connect with them. And sometimes you see the worship leader, especially if it's Pastor Pat, you see him lost in worship, and he seems to be enjoying the moment. And you're saying, Lord, let this flow not pass me. It's like a river flowing, you know. And you're saying, Lord, let this river not pass me. Help me to jump in. And sometimes you just have to jump in, and then you realize, oh my goodness, I was just standing on the outside when actually the moment you jump in, you don't drown. You flow and you enjoy. You rejoice when you have a good harvest. In the book of Deuteronomy, and I have a lot of scriptures that I'm going to reference today. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, chapter 16, verse 14, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and he was telling them about a good harvest and how they should rejoice when they get a good harvest, because a good harvest comes from the Lord. And this is a fairly long passage, so I'll read a couple of verses here. Chapter 16 of the book of Deuteronomy, one of those books that not many people really enjoy reading especially because of the last chapter there, you know, the second last or third last chapter, chapter 28, and the curses that it talks about. So Christians don't want to read about those curses, right? But this is what Moses said. This festival will be a happy time of celebrating with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants and the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows from your towns. For 7 days, You must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God in the place he chooses, for it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvests and gives you success in all your work. Wow. So if you're having success in your work, if you are enjoying, if things are going well with you, if things are adding up, you got a promotion at your place of work, you got a good appraisal, you know, everything is working well, come on, celebrate, rejoice in the Lord. Because it is he who blesses you with that success. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, the Christians are even guilty to celebrate. It's like, oh, how can I even be, you know, maybe that would be too sinful, you know. No. It's actually godly to celebrate. When you're having a good harvest, hallelujah. Amen? The joy of the Lord, and that joy goes along with happiness. Amen? There's happiness that will come along with that joy. Oh my goodness, if your business is growing, it's time to celebrate. It's time to be happy. It's time to feel good about it. Because it's the joy of the Lord who gives you that success. But then, in my next portion, now I got Job. And when I got Job, people say, but is there any joy in the book of Job? Especially at the beginning, and I'm going to the beginning of the book of Job, right? So Job chapter 6, verse 10. And there's joy there that also Job talks about, and he encourages us to think about, espouses us to think about joy in Job chapter 6, verse 10. Let me read. He says, at least I can take comfort in this, despite the pain. I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Can somebody read it for me from the New International Version, please? Yes. Despite the pain, you take some joy in the Lord, despite the pain. There are times when there will be pain around you. It will not always be, hallelujah, woohoo, I am sailing to the kingdom. Yes, there are times when you may be sailing to the kingdom, but then a storm comes. And sometimes we don't even know where the storms come from. We don't know what causes the storms. And the temptation when the storms arise is often to say, Lord, what did I do wrong? And you begin to blame yourself and condemn yourself, and you begin to dig up. And you know, there are many preachers who are very good at giving you a guilt ride. And they will certainly give you the guilt ride and say, it's all your fault. You did it. You brought it upon yourself. If you had heeded what we told you. And so you begin to struggle with the pain and the guilt. And guess what? That's when the devil rejoices, because he has managed to steal one of the most important things the Lord wants you to have, and that's the joy of the Lord, which would be your strength. But then once that joy is gone, then you begin to feel weak. You're weak spiritually, and eventually you begin to feel weak physically. And so Job basically is telling us in the book of Job, even in pain, we can afford to have the joy of the Lord. And James echoes the same writing in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. One of those verses, again, which we all know so well. When James says, count it all joy, brethren, when you go through various trials. It's a bit of an irony. Going through trials and rejoicing. It doesn't add up. And sometimes you go to somebody and they are hurting and you don't even know how to comfort them. I visited the bishop in my country back home, the bishop who married us with my wife. It's about 31 years ago. Time runs, right? I look back and I'm like, whoa, time runs, man. Anyway, we visited this bishop. He's now going to be with the Lord. But at the time we visited him, his son had just been shot dead. His son had finished university, he had got a good job, and he was working, and he's driving with his brother along the road. They stop them, they just shoot this boy, and they walk away. It was a very painful moment for the bishop. And the bishop said to us when we visited him, one of his Christians, and he's a bishop, he was a bishop of one of the biggest churches in the country, and one of his parishioners or Christians visited him and said, "Bishop, he always encouraged us to take courage in the Lord. It's now your time for us to encourage you to take courage in the Lord." And the bishop said, that was one of the most difficult moments of his life. What do you say to somebody who is going through trials? What do you say to somebody who is hurting? I have gone to pray for people who I knew 2 minutes later, one day later, might be going to be with the Lord. What do you say to them? What do you say to somebody who has just lost his job and lost almost everything that they've lived for? They've lost their house. They're struggling. They've lost a loved one. They're going through trials, things they can't understand or comprehend. And yet James says to us, count it all joy when you go through various trials. How possible is that? Let's look at that verse. James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. How many of us do that? Let me do some census around the house. How many of us rejoice and say, "Woo! When I'm going through trials, hallelujah, that's the moment." But James goes ahead to say to us in verse 3, and that's what many people do not look at when they look at verse 2. He says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Our allegiance to his name, our commitment has a chance to grow. And verse 4 he says, "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Count it all joy because you know that is how your faith grows. We all can relate with some time when our life was so low, when we were going through something so challenging, so difficult, we didn't know what to say or do. And yet you can look back and realize it was during that time that you probably got closest to the Lord. It was probably during that time that you really appreciated your faith even the more. It's probably during that time that you spent more time in prayer, that you called upon the name of the Lord even more often than you did previously. So count it all joy, brethren, when you go through trials. So yes, when should we rejoice? When we go through trials. And that's why the difference between happiness and joy becomes very obvious. You can't be happy when you're going through trials. I'm really suffering, you know. Once in scripture it happened though, it's very difficult to understand when the disciples were beaten, the apostles, when they were flogged and they were beaten and they rejoiced and they said, "We are so glad we have been beaten for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ." And they rejoiced because they had been beaten. They had suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. But it's not always. It's not easy. It's not possible. and Pastor Bill prayed. You're losing your health care. You're losing your job. You're losing your house. Your life seems to be falling apart. It's very difficult altogether. And yet the Bible still encourages us and says, during such times, find an opportunity to rejoice in the Lord. When should we rejoice? When you find favor with God. Job chapter 33. Again, I go back to the book of Job. Job chapter 33, verse 26. And it will shock you how many times the book of Job actually teaches us about joy and rejoicing in the Lord. But let me read Job chapter 33, verse 26. Elihu, one of the young men who were taunting Job, you know, is basically talking about what a righteous man should be or should look like, or the characteristics of a righteous man. And he says, in verse 26, when he prays to God, he will be accepted, and God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. Or he will find favor with God. So we rejoice when there is favor, right? If you're feeling the favor of the Lord around you, you know, you write your proposals and they get accepted and they get funded, you get you apply for contracts and you're getting your contracts and they're going, you know, they're getting accepted, and you feel like, yeah, the favor of the Lord is upon me, okay? Everything you have wanted just seems to be falling in place. You go to see a doctor and the doctor gives you a good report. You were scared about that report and it comes out well and you feel like the favor of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. It is very important to rejoice when you're feeling the favor of God upon your life. But it's also good to rejoice when you're bringing a sacrifice into the house of the Lord. In the book of Psalm 27, verse 6, it is good to rejoice when you bring a sacrifice to the house of the Lord. 27, verse 6 in Psalm, the Bible says, then I'll hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary I'll offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. When you bring a sacrifice into the presence of the Lord, bring it with joy. Let me tell you what we do, or we used to do back home in my church back in Uganda. In most churches in Uganda, this is actually the practice, what people do. They put two baskets, or as many baskets as the size of the church is. In this particular church, we would put two baskets. We would put a basket there, and we would put a basket here. And the congregation comes to give, dancing and praising the Lord. And it's a wonderful, and they always, they say, let's get a hot one. They call it a hot one. So they get one of those sisters who really know how to bring a hot song, which will excite everybody. And as they bring the sacrifice, they bring dancing and they put in the bag and they go rejoicing and dancing. And we say to those who don't have anything to put in the bag, even when you don't have, come and dance past the bag. And by faith declare and say, Lord, I look at it today, tomorrow I put in it. Hallelujah. And when you bring a sacrifice into the presence of the Lord, when you give something to the Lord, you rejoice. And that is why it was counted for Abraham righteousness, because he was offering Isaac without grumbling. It's not that God enjoys people sacrificing their children. It is that lack of grumbling. It is that joy with which Abraham brought his son as a sacrifice and said, Lord, you gave me, I now give back. But the Bible urges us to rejoice as we bring a sacrifice in the presence of the Lord. Rejoice also when you're working. Now, that's not a very, very easy one, right? But the Bible encourages us in various places to rejoice as we work. Let me read two scriptures, one from Nehemiah and one from Ezra. Most people read the book of Nehemiah, very few people read the book of Ezra. But these are two wonderful books in the Bible. And in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 6, a verse again we all know so well, Nehemiah says, we completed the wall because the people worked wholeheartedly. The people worked joyfully. The people worked willingly. Chapter 4, verse 6 of Nehemiah says, at last the wall was completed to have its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. This Bible, which is, I think, written for young people, says enthusiasm. People were happy. People were joyed. People were glad to be working in the house or on the wall of the city. And in Ezra chapter 6, verse 22, Ezra says, 6:22. The Bible says, then they celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. There was great joy throughout the land because the Lord had caused the king of Assyria to be favorable to them, so that he helped them to rebuild the temple of God, the God of Israel. They had worked. We rejoice in the work. We rejoice when we work. We rejoice, and I know I can't tell you how many times I wake up and I feel like, oh my God, I wish I could just stay resting today. And then the Lord has put there my wife to remind me as she prays and says, Lord, thank you that we have places we can go to work. You say, hallelujah, Lord, instead of complaining. Thank you, Lord, that I have a place that I can go to go and work. And some of us, we complain. And you're grumbling and you're complaining. You say, oh my God, not again. It's Monday. Today you wake up and there is no place to go and work, then you realize, oh my God, Lord, I desire one of those days when I had a place I went to go and work. Let me bring this to a conclusion, because and then I'll answer two questions and I'll bring this to a conclusion very quickly. Who should rejoice? Who should rejoice? And of course, I have answered part of that already. But who should rejoice? And as I dug up the scriptures, it was amazing to see what the Bible says about who should rejoice. Number one, the heavens and the earth. 1 Chronicles 16:31. 1 Chronicles 16:31. The heavens and the earth. King David was basically writing about praising the Lord and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Let's read it. It's always good to read the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 16. Again, Chronicles, not a book that many people enjoy reading. But, a lot of wonderful stuff is hidden in some of those difficult to read and obscure books. 16:31, King David in his psalm, David's song of praise, he says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Rejoicing is not supposed to be only for Christians. Rejoicing is not supposed only for human beings. Rejoicing is supposed to be for the heavens and the earth. Because the Lord reigns. He reigns in the heavens. He reigns in the earth. And so rejoicing is supposed to be for all. You know, this is an interesting one. He says, let's read on in that same part. He says, verse 32, let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Oh my God. If you went to your garden and you found your flowers dancing around, I don't know whether you'll stand to appreciate them and take some pictures for iTunes or whatever, CNN iReport. I don't know whether you just take off and call 911 and say something is certainly not right here. Emmanuel was telling me when that great earthquake happened, was it 2 years ago? A great earthquake that happened around here. I think he was walking back from school, and all of a sudden the cars around him are like, and he said, "What's happening to is it me or is it the cars around me? Is something happening?" And you don't understand what's happening. But the Bible basically says the crops out there should burst out and praise the Lord. And he goes on to say, now this is an interesting one. He goes on to say, "Let the trees and the forest rustle with praise, for the Lord is coming to judge the earth." And a very similar portion of scripture, very, very similar to this particular passage, is in the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms 98, so let's read it as well. 98, verse 8. And I'll soon finish, but I wanted to read all these scriptures because let the word of the Lord speak for itself. Chapter 98, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says. Now, this is an interesting one. "Let the rivers clap their hands." Ah, in glee. So, brethren, next time we are singing and praising the Lord, if we don't clap hands, you might see a river flowing here. Clapping its hands. Well, let the rivers clap their hands with glee. Time to praise the Lord. Time to worship the Lord. Time to be glad in the presence of the Lord. And he goes on to say, before the Lord is coming to judge the earth. Praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord. And my last question that I want to answer today, how should we rejoice in the Lord? What are some of the forms of rejoicing in the Lord? And I have about four or five that I've written down here. And I'll not read all the scriptures that are associated with them, but I'll give them to you. Number one is Ezra, again, chapter 6, verse 22, we just read there, and he says, with celebration. It's wonderful to celebrate in the presence of the Lord. It is wonderful to... The Lord loves celebration. The Lord enjoys celebration. The Lord dwells in the midst of people when they celebrate his goodness. So we can rejoice with celebration. Number two, delighting in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Chapter 37, verse 4 of Psalms, again, a scripture that we all know very well. He says, delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Just delighting in the Lord. King David said, I rejoiced when they told me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How many times do we rejoice when it's time to go to church? Or is it, oh my God, again, anyway, church time, okay. Yeah, let's go and get this out of the way. You know, you just can't get it out of the way. It's supposed to be a time of joy. It's supposed to be an inner strength about it. So much so that if you fail to go to church that day, it is eating you up. Why you didn't go to church? Why you missed out on that fellowship? Not that you should be guilty about it, but come on, I missed something. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be part of it. And when the praise comes and starts, I want to be part of it. I want to be part of that presence. You know, yesterday, my wife and I were watching TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and you have the Gaithersburg, and you see, what's his name? Gaithers, not Gaithersburg. Gaithers, this is the musician, right? And he had this program where he had assembled over 20 artists, various artists from different angles, and they were all singing together in unison. And then one of them stood up to sing this wonderful little song, When the Saints Go Marching In. Oh, when the saints Go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be among the number. Oh, when the saints go marching. And then you had these wonderful men coming with their flutes and all sorts of music instruments. And oh my God, it felt like being in heaven. At that moment, I was like, what? That is the joy of the Lord bubbling on the inside. People should be able to hear a song bursting from the inside when everybody is troubled. And on your inside, there is a song of praise. And you know that's what the Lord does. That's why the Lord gives us testimonies. That's why the Lord answers prayer. When things around you don't seem to be well, somehow the Lord gives you a song of praise. There is a song inside there. And people may be looking at you and they just see a person praising the Lord. And they don't even know why you're praising the Lord. When everybody seems, expects you to be falling apart, there is joy inside of there. A song the Lord has given you to praise His holy name. We rejoice with singing and dancing. And I know that it's not everybody's skill to dance or even sing. But King David, wonderful musician and a wonderful dancer, right? He danced in the presence of the Lord when they were transferring the ark and bringing back the ark of the Lord to Israel. And he danced to a degree that he made himself undignified. And his wife scolded him, literally. How could a king do that, embarrassing yourself before your maids and before all the little girls of the city, dancing and throwing your robes all over? And King David said, if I dignified myself that time, then I'll undignify myself even more in the presence of the Lord. Dancing in the presence of the Lord. You know, brethren, it's good to feel good in the presence of the Lord. You know, just dance. And if you think somebody is looking at you because you're not dancing well, close your eyes. Praise the name of the living God. But let me finish with this one. Sometimes you just have to be still in the presence of the Lord, and you still rejoice. Let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. And we've read this before. Nehemiah 8, 10 and 11. The Bible says, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse 11, and the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. The New International Version says, be still. It's very easy sometimes to be carried away by thinking that the joy of the Lord is accompanied by noise and celebration. And you miss the fact that sometimes just quieting yourself in the presence of the Lord, you get to enjoy a deeper relationship with the joy of the Lord flowing on the inside. And as the saying goes, the quiet waters run deepest. Quiet waters, still waters, they run deepest. You go to the river and And you think, oh my God, the river here is so calm. But it runs deep. That relationship that you have with the Lord, the deeper your relationship, the deeper that joy will be. The deeper your connection with the Lord, the deeper your joy will be with the Lord. And sometimes you're just quiet in the presence of the Lord and you are just bathing in that joy, in that presence of the Father, in that goodness of the Lord God of glory. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And finally, as I said before, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17, 16 and 17, Moses said to the children of Israel, do not come to the presence of the Lord without a gift. Come to the presence of the Lord with a gift. Come to the presence of the Lord with a sacrifice. So you rejoice by giving. Giving to the Lord. But also Nehemiah has said, giving to those who don't have. You rejoice by giving. And you rejoice in your giving. Rejoice in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. I wanted us to finish with a song of praise. It looks like Brother Douglas has gone. Amen? And isn't that good? Because then we get to sing and dance. I'm not saying Brother Douglas didn't allow us to sing and dance, but then we get to sing and dance and clap hands to the Lord. Amen. And I want to ask one of our worship team leaders to volunteer to come and give us a song that will help us to sing and praise and dance in the presence of the Lord. I don't have a particular song. I don't have a song I've chosen, but I'm sure somebody here will give us a song which we shall. I can see Sister Diane is. It is, come and give us one. Hallelujah. Give us a song. Let's dance in the presence of the Lord. Let's rejoice in the presence of the Father. Let's dance. Let's rejoice. Let that joy run inside of us. And let's be glad in the house of the Lord, for it is great.
This is a simple song that we all know. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's make a joyful noise to the Lord! Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Let's have some time of worship. Just lift up your hands and worship the Lord and bless His holy name. Father God of Abraham, we bless you. Father God of Isaac, we worship you. Father God of Israel, we honor you. We come before you with humble hearts, Lord, blessing your holy name, praising your holy name, worshiping your holy name, blessing you, Jehovah God, for you are the great God of glory, for you are the King of kings, for you are the Lord of lords. We bless your holy name. We lift you up, O God, above everything else, O God. We lift up your name above every creation, above every situation, and above every problem, O God. We bless you, God of Abraham. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. Father, we lift up your holy name. Father, we praise you. Father, we bless you. Father, we honor you, for you are the King of kings. For you are the Lord of lords, O God. And we declare you King of kings in our lives, O God. We declare you King of our situations, O God. We declare you King of our circumstances, O Father. Father, we declare you Lord over things we understand and things we don't understand. For there is no God like you, Lord. And so we lift up your holy name, O God. We bless you, Lord God. We worship you. We praise you, Lord God. We bless you. We honor you, Lord. Father God of Abraham, we bless you. Yes. Father, we worship you. Yes. We thank you for the word that you have given unto us, O God, to encourage us concerning the gift of joy and the fruit of joy, concerning rejoicing in your presence, and concerning walking joyfully, Lord God. And Father, even as we go through various circumstances in our lives, O God, people facing various trials, O God, challenges with our health, challenges with our circumstances, challenges with our finances, challenges with our employment, challenges with jobs and business and contracts, O God, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end, the anchor of our faith, O Lord God, we look to you. And we pray, Jehovah God, that you will take control of every situation and circumstance. We pray that you will take charge of the things that trouble our minds, O Lord God. And that the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, will sweep over our hearts, O Lord God of glory. And Father, that you will draw us closer to you. And help us to draw close to you, Lord God. And Father, even when we cannot have an outward expression of that joy, as we sit still in your presence, may you help that joy to run deep in our hearts, oh God. Father, you know those things that steal our joy. You know those things that take away our joy. And yet, Lord, you say that to your disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that you may have joy, and that your joy may be complete. Lord, help us to have complete joy in you. Joy that surpasses the circumstances and situations of the moment. Joy that comes from above. Joy which will be our strength in you. Lord, as we leave this place, we pray that you'll go ahead of us. That you'll minister to us in the week. Minister to us, Lord, at our places of work. Minister to us in our homes, O Father. On the roads as we drive or travel by train or plane. Minister to us as we walk and meditate and reflect and think. Minister to us in our offices, O God. Father, in those moments of loneliness and quietness, when there is nobody for us to turn to and look to, and all we have is you, minister to us in those moments. In those pains that run deep in our hearts, O God, which we may not even utter or declare, and yet you know them and you see them and you feel them. Minister to us, Lord. And we pray for every member of the church, O God, those who are here, those who are not here. We pray for those who are not able to be here today for various situations and reasons, O God, that wherever they are, the blessing of God will reach out to them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, King of Kings. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we do pray. Amen. Amen.